Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live on the road, Thirsty Thursdays here in Katy Park Row location. Make your way on out here. 2 to 6, we'll be here getting you ready for obviously the big game this weekend on Saturday coming up in Arrowhead between your Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. We obviously don't come empty-handed, not right along with the great food and the drinks. The Bud Light girls, they'll be out here as well. But you got a chance to win a couple of prizes. All you got to do is come on in, sign your name, put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to win. We got an autographed Jalen Petrie football, and then C.J. Stroud, an autographed game-size helmet.
Wow, Stroud, dude.
That's right. You got a chance to win that. So get on in here. Come on in. Have a good time out here in Katy as we'll have a good time here. From the text line here, Ronald said he about to be sad dog 816 on Monday.
Yeah, love it.
I know you got to tell yourself to believe that, and as you should.
Mahomes about to be 6-1 in this divisional round.
There you go. Got any more out there, Tyler? There we go.
Mahomes about to throw his first pick ever in the divisional round two, son.
Ever, baby. There it is.
Might even throw two of them, son.
Hey, why not two, man? How about three? Why not four?
Let's get a sack fumble. How about
sack
that?
Fumble.
Add that
what
in
else?
There, man. Let's
there we
get
go.
One.
There
pressure,
we go.
Pressure bust pipes now.
There it is. There it is. Yes, we can all dream in here today, and you can dream out here. And Buffalo Wild Wings, come on out and hang out with us. As we said, we'll be here until 6 o'clock to have a good time. All right, some news here, and I'm not going to just say it's bad news with at least, you know, one of them. We don't know. It's not good news, Clint and Tyler, and it is something that we definitely are going to keep an eye on, and it is something that that you certainly don't want to be the case right now if you are pulling for the Houston Texans. And that is, and we'll get the official injury report a little bit when it comes out, but fellas, Joe Mixon, who... Right, Tyler. He just popped up on the injury report yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, just out of nowhere.
He was not even on it on Monday. Full go, but he was limited yesterday with an ankle issue, so that popped up, which leads you to believe it is a recent thing. And then again today, reports, Clint, is that he did not practice at all today. And
this will, tackle.
This will be the last practice that they have here. They'll head to Kansas City, but he did not practice today. And then, Clint, also Robert Woods did not practice. And this is a little bit more serious because Robert Woods has not practiced with a hip issue all week now. And I don't know who's going to return kicks and return punts for this team. Maybe John Metchie. That's the only other person over the years that I have seen return punts. And I'll be honest, we've sat there next to each other with John Metchie. There was a bit of an issue that he doesn't catch the ball immediately, a bit of a bobble issue we saw a lot. But those are two things that we have in front of us here on a Thursday before the game coming up on Saturday. Clint, I would be shocked if Joe Mixon doesn't find his way into this game, but something's up. Something's up, Clint, and that's the big one because they just can't afford to be without Joe Mixon.
Yeah, the bad thing with Joe Mixon, the obvious of him needing, like, I don't think all year long that they've necessarily needed Joe Mixon to win a game. I think there's always a chance of CJ and Nico and Tank and Diggs and all these boys going off. But this is a game where they absolutely need Joe Mixon. And the reality of it is, when you talk about the Texans' run game, a lot of it has been Joe Mixon making something out of nothing. Now, last week was really good, not disrespecting or minimizing anything that happened last week, but the reality of it is, over a 17-game span, if you look at it, a lot of it has been Joe Mixon bouncing an inside run outside, cutting an outside run back across the field, and making hay. He does a lot of it on his own. So, you know, him being out or potentially being out, him missing practice with what is being reported as an ankle issue is definitely a concern. One, we've already had the ankle issue this year, and it kept him out several games. And two, this is just a game where, man, you can't afford to not have that fella.
I think, Clint, I refuse to believe he's not playing in this game.
Like,
Joe Mixon has to. I mean, he would have to. Now, he has missed games because of the ankle this year. I did, but it wasn't a divisional round in Kansas City. I think he'd take shots. I think he'd do whatever it has to take to get onto the field. But, Clint, there is a sign that he may not be completely right, though. Right, and even a little bit more than just the, hey, everybody's got injuries right now. Like, you need Joe Mixon and Nico Collins to be good. If he is hampered at all, if the cutback is not to what he usually is able to do with the speed or whatever, him not being all the way right, I don't know what percentage he's going to be when he plays, but this is just a sign that at the very least that he's not going to be 100%. In this game and going to be hampered with an ankle. So I think that's also, even though I believe he'll play, I'll be shocked off my ass. Sorry, Mom. But I'll be shocked off my ass if he doesn't play. But him not being 100%, that is something to watch for.
It's a problem. You need all hands on deck. There's no doubt about it this week. And Joe is one of the biggest hands out there, if you will. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. All right. And the other part, Robert Woods. That one. I never ever thought, Tyler and Clint, in my life that, hey man, we're in the second round of the playoffs, going to Kansas City, the number one seed, the defending champs. And it's a big deal to report Robert Woods hasn't practiced all week.
Yep.
Now, I also didn't think that would mean that Stephon Diggs was injured and out for the year. Tank Dell was injured and out for the year. And now Deontay Johnson, who you made a trade for, is gone after two games. This becomes a big deal, and as you said before, anybody that we've ever seen go back to catch punts is off the team or injured, yep. Right? Tank, Steve Sims is in Baltimore. Hell, Deontay Johnson, he caught punts. Yeah. He caught punts against Tennessee back there.
Dez King is gone. Diggs was catching punts at one point in time. Mechie was one that did, but it was a rough look.
In practice, like some people are texting in, what about Damian Pierce to do that? I don't know if that's the first time you want him to do that in game.
Damian does some good things in the kickoff, but there's just something about DP. His build, his mentality, kind of the way he's wired, it, he just doesn't strike me as an old fella that you want camping underneath the punt with guys bearing down on him. Like, I need him focused on catching the ball, not worrying about whether he needs to make a fair catch or not. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah, I think it's going to be Xavier Hutchinson back there fair catching these pieces.
I think it's going to be Hutch, or you keep an eye on, and we need to look this up, T, but it just came to my mind. I believe they signed the Erickson kid back.
Oh, did they? Okay.
And as thin as this wide receiver crew is,
I
don't remember where he went this year. He went somewhere and got some run with the team. I don't remember if it's one that's running the same offense or not.
Yeah, Texans have signed Erickson to the practice squad.
I wonder if they elevate him simply for punt return. And with Joe Mixon injury, you might want to elevate him for kick return as well.
In real time, and it's Tyler, when did he sign?
So he took the spot of Jared Wayne when they elevated him to take the place of Deontay Johnson.
I just to get a guy that is a punt returner
Wednesday.
That's what he's done. That may be a sign of what's up with Robert Woods.
Well, I mean, there really is something there, guys. You're just talking about a play that can flip a game upside down in a hurry if you don't have a guy that you trust enough to just go back there and fair catch a damn punt. I mean, it, like, yeah. I'd be shocked if this team didn't have that guy. It probably is Xavier Hutchinson. But when it's all said and done, if Alex Erickson is a better guy to go back there and actually give you a little bit of a threat.
Certainly has more experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, again, I don't know how much he helps you offensively, but at this point, if we're being honest, you know, your third and down receiver in terms of depth is probably going to be helping you on special teams any way it goes. That guy's going to have a full plate on Saturday any way it goes. So.
How much does this hurt offensively if Robert Woods isn't able to go?
Well, I think it just puts – I mean, not pressure's not the right word, but I think it just puts John Metchie in the crosshairs of like, hey, man, like John Metchie is never going to be loved more and given more of an opportunity than he is in Houston. I mean, I know the story, and a lot of people like, – I'm not being insensitive to the story, but the reality of it is John Metchie has not done anything to other than be best friends with C.J. Stroud to earn the opportunities and reps that he's getting. Right, and then you look at kind of how things have unfolded with guys getting injured, even to this conversation. Like John Metchie has never been needed more as a number two wide receiver on a team to be able to counterpunch what Nico Collins brings to the table. Add to that mix that Dalton Schultz, for whatever reason, isn't performing as a $12 million pass catch first tight end. Like John Metchie has
never. I knew it was going to come back to Dalton.
Well, I mean, it's just the reality.
And it
of
should.
I mean,
old soft ass Schultz.
But think about it. Think about it, guys. You got Dalton Schultz, who's nowhere near the $12 million man that he's being paid to be. You got Joe Mixon, who now has a bum ankle and is probably not going to be used in the pass game the way that I was hoping he would. You got Diggs and Tank both injured, right? And now all of a sudden you got Robert Woods injured. Like, there's never been a bigger opportunity and a bigger need for John Metchie to come out and play consistently. Again, last week, the fumble, the drop. Other than that, he did some decent things. But John Mechie's got to at least be a safety valve for C.J. Stroud and be able to catch and convert instead of catch and fumble or catch and drop. He's got to be a more sure-handed player than that, a safer option for this offense at the very least. But the opportunities keep presenting themselves to John Metchie. It's got to be a monster week for him.
He's had some moments, but they need him.
Well, look,
now.
Ron,
needed him if Robert Woods was good.
Right? Yeah, doubt. But look, I've said it all year long, really for 8 weeks now. I mean, I think John Metchie has been. If you watch the games and you always look back to, like, I know there were some people that were, I don't know what they were seeing during training camp, but that were super high on him in training camp. And I'm like, guys, he's non-existent in games. And then he has the really good preseason game. You go, okay, I can see a little upside. And then throughout the season, he just it keeps chopping wood. He starts impacting games little by little. And you can definitely see where there's something there, and there's something promising there with John Metchie. But man, we're beyond time to show us something. I mean, you got to show us something, and it's got to be significant this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, again, not saying that you know Robert Woods is out or whatever. It's just the Texans play Saturday. Robert Woods has not practiced Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Well, you got three.
And this is just a walkthrough type of a thing today.
Ron, when you look at it, when you look for wide receivers and running backs, right? Hips, knees, and ankles.
About to say, yeah, the hip. That's
shoulders,
where it
work,
is.
Too. We can work through shoulders. You know, you can come back off a concussion and not get hit, you know, not get, you know, dead centered. And,
hell,
and
Clint,
be
we can even tape up an ankle sprain.
Yeah. I mean, it's just but those are the ones that hinder you. Even if you can go, those are the ones that any moment in the game can pop up and, like, untouched, non-contact injury. You just run a route, and boom, there goes the ankle again. There goes the knee. There goes that hip. And now you're down to needing John Metchie even more. So whether these guys play or not, a healthy John Metchie, who, by the way, John Metchie was on the injury report yesterday with a shoulder,
he
wasn't it?
He had the shoulder. He missed a game recently.
So I mean, he's not 100%. So it's Texans are going to be shorthanded any way you slice it.
All right. That is the latest from an injury front. Again, as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings in Katy Park Row location. Make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Good times being had out here. Prizes to win. All right, Clint. What's at stake? What's at stake for this in this game? I think a lot of us understand the obvious. Hey, the big thing is the Houston Texans. In their history, have never gone past this round. They've never been in the championship game round. But even more, what's at stake for this game Saturday?
Well, I think it starts with CJ, right? I mean, that's the headliner here, really, year in, year out, week in, week out with the Texans. I think the ship has sailed on CJ being mentioned in the top three to five quarterbacks in the league right now. Right now, he can get back in that mix, but it's like the body of work over 17 weeks last year and 2 weeks in the playoffs is what put him there. And this time, to me, the body of work this year is kind of what sunk that ship, and he's on a different tier right now. I don't think one playoff game, even a win against the Chiefs on the road with a monster performance and filling up the box score, I don't think that conversation is going to be had. But I will tell you this, he can damn sure shake the sophomore slump narrative.
Nobody would even remember it.
Yeah, forget about it. Like he can shake that 100%. I think you look at Bobby Slowick. I think Bobby Slowick's job security, a win this week against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bobby Slowick might get real. I know he interviewed for the Jets today. He might fool around, not only keep his job here, fool around and get a head coaching opportunity.
He can damn sure get himself out of the doghouse around here with any you know. Any of the fans that have a little bit of sense, he can damn sure get himself out of the doghouse. And then I think the Texans as a whole, for me, Ron, I think the Texans as a whole can get back in the conversation of the best the AFC has to offer, right? And look, some people may say, well, no crap, they're going to the AFC Championship. They're clearly one of the best. Yeah, I get it. The Titans went to an AFC Championship before, too, as well. I don't think anybody looked at them beyond that and was like, boy, this is the class of the AFC. Like, I'm talking about the Texans being in the conversation every year, possibly even replacing the Bengals with what the Bengals have been the last 3 years in terms of every time you hear Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo mentioned, everybody mentioned Burrow and Cincinnati. The Texans with a win this week could potentially not just get back in that conversation organizationally as one of the top AFC teams, but I think you could potentially pass the Cincinnati Bengals after beating them a couple times, as well as making a deeper run in the playoffs and beating the Chiefs. I think you could establish yourself legitimately in that, you know, top three, four teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't think he would deserve to be mentioned in the top five,
CJ?
But I think he would. I think people, if he won this game, because
in the league?
Clint, it is some sort of an extra boost that you get for beating the Chiefs in the playoffs.
And you should.
And at home. Yeah, right. Like Joe Burrow.
As you said, Burrow and Brady?
Yeah, Burrow and Brady they're 15-3 in the Mahomes era. The only two quarterbacks are Burrow and Brady. And Joe Burrow has, I think, even through kind of up and down injuries, Joe Burrow, the one thing that people will say, oh, yeah, Josh Allen, Lamar. Yeah, but Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Burrow beat Mahomes in the playoffs in a way that those two other guys haven't been able to do. So I think the conversation around CJ, based off the body of work, I don't know if he would, but the conversation about CJ, it would be, oh, he went in and beat Mahomes in Arrowhead with Diggs hurt with all the injuries. That offensive line, it would jump up and increase.
It would headline year two for him, right? I mean, it's been a rough stretch here for CJ Stroud of late. I mean, you mess around and beat Pat Mahomes and Kansas City on the road, all of a sudden your resume year one is rookie of the year, best touchdown to interception ratio, led the league in yards per game, and I mean, you did some really, to be honest with you, unbelievable things your rookie year. This year, the follow up, the sophomore slump, has been just that, right? You knock off Pat and the Chiefs, all of a sudden, boy, you put that on a resume, and nobody gives a rip what the first 18 games that you played, what those games were all about.
Yep. All right, coming up, Bobby Slowick. He spoke yesterday. And you know when Clint gets football horny.
Hey, come on.
Bobby Slowick gave him something that brought it on out. We'll let you hear what that is and discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
You're gonna get hard.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in from the text line. y'all some scary asses. Next man up. Let's go. I like when, like when you send that in. Are you like, are you serious? Like they got to call up John Wayne and Evan Erickson. I don't know if that young man's first name.
I think it's Alex.
I know. I don't know what John's first name is either, but he's going to be John Wayne. So they get John Wayne and Evan Erickson up to have to play receiver after you didn't lock. Like you got Nico and potentially John Metchie and Hutch and then Wayne and Erickson. Like, look, nowhere do we say, oh, it's over, but damn, like, you, in your mind, you just like, hey, next man up? Like, I understand you have to do that, but you ain't like, damn, man, next man up. Is that what you'd do if it happened? Well, hey, Davis look, Mills, mean, Davis Mills got to play next man up.
Yeah,
I mean, is that where you are? Like, I mean, damn, it's I think, worth the discussion. We some scary asses. What do you ain't a little, that don't concern you a little bit?
Yeah, I have a very hard time relating to a sports conversation being responded to as y'all some scary asses. But no, we're just talking about the wide receiver room, man, and how depleted it is and who's going to need to step up, man. I ain't nothing scared about it. It's just the reality of it is John Metchie's going to have a monster game.
It's an issue. Yeah.
I mean, that's all.
This is how you want to walk in, no?
That's all. No, nobody's scary. Everything's fine on the home front.
Yeah,
hell,
yeah.
We got a Stroud helmet to give away and a Petrie football to give away over here, man. We're good.
Yeah, I would imagine that D'Amico didn't just say, ah, hell, Jalen's out. Next up. Oh, hell, Jimmy Ward's out. Next up. How about it, huh?
No, Biggie. They called a little meeting to try to figure things out.
No, Biggie. Yeah. Ah. Diggs is up. Ah. Next up. Oh, man, get up out of here with that thing. All right, Bobby Slowick, he spoke yesterday to the media and had this to say about maybe different ways to use one of his major weapons in this game, Joe Mixon.
I think he's a really good receiver, actually. I know, you know, we worked it a lot in camp. Like, I'm sure all you guys saw that. We did a good amount of it in camp. We did some of it early in the year, you know, and I think as the year has gone, probably have gotten away from that a little bit. Wanted to make sure he was fresh for some of his carries. But without a question, that's something that's on my mind and been on my mind. Like, how can we make sure we make use of a guy that we think is an excellent player?
Yeah, listen, you know what I hear when I hear him say that is, hey, man, this was a regular season. Now, baby. Now, I don't care about. I don't care about. Hey, I got to monitor his touches and carries, baby. Yep. Now
I just answered this one also.
Yeah, well, that's when I heard Bobby, because I always go back and listen to Bobby. We play it live on the show, obviously, but it's. I like to go back and listen to it when there's not a lot of going on. We're not moving on to the next segment and just kind of process it all. And when I heard that particular audio, I just thought, okay. Now I understand why. I don't need to agree, but I understand the method of the madness of why he wasn't used more during the year as a slot receiver or a wide receiver catching the football out of a 2-point stance, you know, flank left or right of the quarterback. I understand. And on the flip side of that, it sure seemed like we fixing to get us a nice little dose of Joe Mixon in the pass game. And so yeah, Bobby. Bobby had me good and worked up about this potential of 28 in the pass game because I think it changes the entire offense. You want to talk about getting mismatches. You want to talk about getting him in open space, whether he's running the ball with physicality or running away from guys. He is really good. He's better than Bobby actually said there, for being completely honest. I think he's better than that. And coming into the season, I think anybody that watched training camp expected a ton more of Joe Mixon. We got it in flashes throughout the season. It was really good, and then all of a sudden it disappears for two or three games, right? Really for more than that. But that makes sense. Not having a backup running back that you trust, not having a backup running back that's healthy, and you knowing that he's going to potentially, depending on how the game goes, he could potentially be a mid to high 20 carry guy in any given game, you might want to make sure he's fresh in the fourth quarter. So that makes sense. But
and I'll be honest, Clint, in this particular game, I mean, with the Chiefs getting their number two corner Jalen Watson back in the game, which is a big deal. They went from being a top three defense when he was playing, then when he got injured, their pass defense really, really dropped. With them getting him back, when you got McDuffie out there, you got Watson out there, I think guys like Justin Reed can probably, they feel pretty good about him. Yep. And matching up against Dalton Schultz. Hell, Joe Mixon, outside of the Nico matchup, Joe Mixon against a linebacker where the Chiefs have struggled to cover, that might be the next best matchup. That might be the next best place where you can create separation and win a matchup behind Nico. And it may be the best because they may just double Nico and try to completely take that as an option away.
I'd be shocked if they don't at least tilt their coverage that direction. And look, we've talked about it. The counterpunch to Nico Collins is going to have to come in some way, shape, or form. Now, it may be, Ron, it may be collectively as a group, three or four or five different guys have to contribute. I would think that Joe Mixon would be, you know, in that, if not first, he would definitely be second in that group of guys that need to contribute in the pass game. Now, I say all this to say Bobby got me good and turned on yesterday with this talk of 28 catching the ball out of the backfield, and then today I show up and all of a sudden this ankle injury, yeah, whatever happened at practice, has turned into two straight days of him being limited at practice with the ankle.
So one day limited, today just flat not practicing.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there you go. Thanks for making it worse, Ron. One day limited, one day not practicing. Man. Yeah, so I mean, it's like you talk about a buzzkill, man. That injury report is a damn buzzkill for me.
Yeah, from the text line, should they use Pierce more in the passing game since we are short on receivers? Like, just say that in your mind. Like that, yeah, look, there's got to be something before you arrive there.
I think that the ship has sailed on that. I think
got to use him in the run game.
You know,
first.
That was the positive spin on this thing. I think there is a negative. There needs a negative comment that at least needs a statement that needs to be made in the sense of the Texans brought this on themselves. I mean, not handling their backup running back situation better. Not handling their nickel. I'm sorry. Their third down running back situation better. I just hope this isn't the game that it bites him in the ass. You hope that Damian Pierce comes out and he's more Tennessee Titan Damian Pierce and less ultimately 2022 or 2023, 2024 Damian Pierce and what we saw, the struggles that he had. So I hope for D'Amico's sake and Bobby's sake that this running back situation doesn't become an issue in the biggest moment of the season.
All right, coming up, the Texans obviously have a huge game on Saturday, but for most of the country, the big game of the week is happening in cold-ass Buffalo coming up on Sunday night. We got to look in that thing right there. Who is it? Who do you think between Lamar and between Josh Allen? Because those are this game ain't the Bills and the Ravens. Generally, for a lot of people, this game is Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. Who needs this bad boy the most? Who needs it the most, Lamar or Josh? We'll discuss that as we continue live right here. Buffalo Wild Wings, Katy Park Row location. Make your way on out here live here on The Drive.
Playoffs?
Yes!
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row in Katy. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Let's do it, baby. Come on out. Hang out with us as we are live right here in Katy Park Row location. The Bud Light girls, they'll be out here very, very soon. And you can be out here. Food, drinks, TVs all over the place. Any kind of sauce or rub you want on those wings, that probably came off. That probably came out.
Well, as long as you finish it properly.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Hold on, Joe.
Any kind of sauce or rub you want.
Sorry, Larry.
On your wings.
Finishing properly is most important.
Yeah, you hit that dismount right, you know, if you just say, hey, come on out here, baby. We got plenty of sauce and all the rub you want, baby.
The showman.
My question, what kind of establishment we're at?
Yeah, yeah. Hell, they might get in their cars quicker to get down.
we should do a live show from a shake joint one day.
I would not be fine.
Yeah. I mean, you could...
Tyler, that is a great idea. Now, obviously, you'd have to remain in your space.
Tyler,
I mean, you want to talk about Tyler getting out over his skis.
Guys, that would mean I'd have to be out on location. So just relax.
Tyler, if they did this thing and they said, hey, man, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do this thing live from we're going to be at Onyx. That's where we go. We're going to be at Onyx. Hey, Tyler wouldn't be. Okay. All right.
And then, he wouldn't crack the mic one time.
No. This is what he would do. Tyler would not say nothing. Tyler would then just go about connecting with one of our producer backups would not even go through the bosses or the proper procedures. He would just say, "Chris Santiago, I'll cover Area 45 tonight. Let's just switch up. Can you get this for me real quick?"
Nah, I don't want to work that late. It'd be more like, "Hey, Santiago, you want to make a quick Benjamin, bro?"
Yeah, that's right. He got that money. He'll go ahead and just
maroon money.
Be like, "Yeah, Tyler's up there." Or Tyler would state his case on how pivotal it is that he is here along with our engineer. And
I mean, it would be our first show at a shake joint, so I felt like it would be important. I need to make sure we stay on track, we sound good, you know, and keep an eye on y'all.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, what's the odds of you coming out if we did a show, a Football Friday from Onyx? What would be the odds of you making your way on out here? 713-572-4610. Listen, we're just doing kind of a focus group here to just kind of see what the thoughts would be if we were at a shake joint, as the fella said. What would be the odds of you making your way on out there? Just to see
live from Treasures. It's the Drive.
We get a good enough response here. We may be able to pull it off now. Boss lady told me she could sell anything.
She could sell anything. Okay. This ain't a hard one. This ain't a hard one. Pun intended. All right. But no, come on out here, guys. You got a chance to win autograph football from Jalen Petrie. You got a chance to win an autograph game size helmet signed by C.J. Stroud. Just put your name in the raffle box, and you can come hang out with us and do your thing. It is divisional round playoff football as the Texans have a huge, huge matchup. Speaking of the other matchups around the NFL, Clint, the big one here outside of Texans-Chiefs is Ravens-Bills. I think most people think that's what we're going to be talking about going into Monday, is what happened in that game. You've got Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, 1-2 in the MVP race. One of those guys will win it. I don't even know who is favored at this point, but one of those guys will win it. And two, both of those guys, Clint, have been in the, when are they ever going to win the big one? When are they going to, neither one's been to the Super Bowl, neither one, both of them have made one appearance in the AFC Championship game, and they both lost in those games. Everything talked about them is they can't get over the hump. This is a huge game in between the two of them, and you can text your thoughts in on this as well. Who do you get the sense needs this game more, Clint? Who needs this game to you more, Allen or Lamar?
Since it's so easy for you, I'm gonna let you have this one first. I'm torn. I don't know how in the hell this is an easy pick for anybody. You're talking about slaying the dragon, and that both of them are up against. Unbelievable careers. I mean, you're talking about Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks and teams. If it weren't for one guy, right? There's a lot of teams that could say that about Brady back in the day. Well, now it's Pat Mahomes. And so you're talking about a chance to slay the dragon once again, which both of these guys need desperately. So, man, I don't know, Ron. I don't know. I got to hear your take of why it's so easy to pick one or the other.
To me, it's Lamar. And as you sit there, for me, it's easy. This is just my thought. It's not even an age thing. Clint, Josh Allen has played well in the postseason, right? That's not really his deal, right? They've just been, I mean, quite honest, I've watched every one of them. For the most part, man, he's just run up against that damn Chiefs team right now.
He's put his best foot forward.
Now, it's been opposite because Lamar's running to him as well, but Lamar did not play well. Like, you can look at the game last year against the Chiefs, his only AFC Championship game, the only time he's played them, and say, Lamar was a major reason why we lost the game. Like, in terms of mistakes, multiple turnovers in the game, they scored 7 points or 10 points in the game. That's not the thing with Josh. Josh is just them. Like, if Josh could go out there and play some defense, maybe they'd have a chance in some of these games. So that's one part of it. But the other part for me, Clint, is I don't know if Lamar is going to play on a better football team than he is this year or next or last year. Like, the last 2 years, they were really good last year. The number one defense, giving up like 16 points a game at home, and then they take it up a notch with Derrick Henry. We'll see how long he continues to play this way or if he's still there. But I don't know if he'll play on a better team when you start to think they've got to make some more decisions on guys. Josh Allen, I don't think Josh Allen has played on the best team that he will play yet. I think they've started to rebuild this thing. They're doing it right now. And here in a year or two, they're going to have money where they can go out and spend and do other things. I think Josh Allen's best team that he'll play on has not occurred yet. I don't know that Lamar is going to play on a better team than he's been on the last 2 years. So that's why, to me, it is a big need for him to get it done right here.
Boy, that's a good.
Because Coleman, the guys that are around him in 2 years are going to be much better than this. Right?
Well, this is the second team that Lamar's had like this. I mean, back when they were running the football, and I don't remember the numbers, but just putting up ridiculous numbers, doing things the league had never seen with Mark Ingram and them fellas back
first,
in the day.
His first MVP, but he wasn't like
he
this.
Was, right, yeah. And now all of a sudden, this team that you've got, as you mentioned, a better Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. The defense is significantly better the last 6 weeks of the season than they were the previous 10 weeks. And so, yeah, I think that's a great point, man. I got to agree with you. I didn't know which way to lean, just individually, which guy needed it more. But you're right. I don't know that Lamar's going to be surrounded by more talent than he is right now. And I think it's pretty easy to get it to a place where there's no question Josh will.
And he still's got to deal with Joe and that division. Yeah. I don't know who the hell's coming in the East with him as they will just get better. So that's for me from the text line. Christian said, to me, it's Lamar, especially this year with Henry. He might not have a better chance. That's just my thing is I just don't know how he could get better than this, the parts surrounding him right now. I thought it last year, Clint, and then they went and got Henry.
Yep.
And it got even better. They're not going to be able to keep all – they got like six all pros on that team. Like, they're going to have to start making some decisions as money goes up as well. By the way, here from YouTube and Twitch, Robert Thomas says, first in line at Onyx, all the way.
Attaboy, Rob.
Immediately coming off the text line, 100% showing up, especially on game day. Throw in playing squares and a raffle, and I'm staying open to close.
Well, that is a great. I wonder how many shake joints around Houston got are selling squares and drink specials for the game.
The good ones.
The good ones. The smart ones.
You think we'd hear about
the ones James Harden went to.
Harden ain't looking for no drink specials.
Give me 6'10", them Onyx wings and the entertainment. Let's go.
Ron's on to something here, man.
I'm telling you, man.
I mean, it was my idea, but.
Okay, Tyler.
That's fine, Clint. You know, I just give Ron the credit. It's fine.
I don't know how well it will be received if it comes from you, Tyler.
But listen,
great point.
I don't want to be technical. I think Tyler threw up shake joint. Then I think I really brought it home.
Yeah,
no, Clint's right. This was you, Ron. This was all you, bro.
I formed it and really brought it home. But
I think it's got a better chance of landing if the married man brings it to the table.
I honest to God, I think you probably got to be the one leading it in.
We got to put a package together, see if we can't sell this, boys.
Yeah. And maybe Tyler, you support us from outside of the office on this one. But yeah, I'd
love to.
There was a time when I'd slide on in and have a little back office conversation this evening, see if it's a real possibility. But them days are behind me, boys.
You're not talking about from 6'10" in.
No. I'm talking about that shake, that back office at the shake.
Let's see what we get done. All right. Coming up as we continue live here on a Thirsty Thursday here, Buffalo Wild Wings, Katy location, Park Row is where we are. Make your way on out here. I want to have a conversation about what Clint and many people believe is the most important person for the Texans in this game coming up, C.J. Stroud. We'll discuss that coming up next.